This is Canopy Conversations, where we take you behind the scenes at Canopy and share insights from our team. I'm your host, Eric Schwartz. In today's episode, we're going to mix it up a little bit. And rather than talking with the investment partners as we've done thus far this season, we're going to take it inside our operations team and welcome Sarah Shackelford, our CFO. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, we typically start these podcasts off by interrogating you on your resume and how you got from there to here. But we're going to go even farther back and talk about your first job, and usually pretty illustrative and informative as to how and like how you formed your view of the financial world. So, yeah. I don't know, what was your first job and when was it?
So my very first job was when I was 14. This was in Kansas City, Missouri. And there was a small movie theater near my house that I could walk to. And when I say small, it was it had two screens, so you could show two movies at a time. And this was in, 95, 96, so mid-90s. My first role there was at concession stands. That's where one starts when you make your entree into movie theaters. So it was my job to pop the popcorn, clean the nacho machine, serve the sodas, all of the really glamorous things that you think about when you think about movie theaters. After doing that for, maybe 2 or 3 months, I was moved up to ticket sales. And that was big time, because you were actually getting to handle money. So this was my first opportunity to, exchange goods and services, count money, have to reconcile the drawer at the end of the day, go to the manager and say, I'm 50 cents short, I'm 75 cents over, here's what I think happened. So I think that was really my first touch point into the world of finance and accounting.
Did you eventually get promoted to actually operating the camera? Or the projector, I should say.
No, never. I'm still not sure how that works.
So you know, you basically maxed out when they allowed you to handle money, which
exactly.
Is how you decided, you know what, one day,
yep,
I want to be a CFO.
Exactly. That was it. That was the moment.
That's pretty fantastic. I grew up in a small town where our movie theater had a single screen, and I remember watching Back to the Future on it.
Yeah.
And it was one of these old theaters where there was like the main floor, and then there was like a little balcony up top.
Uh-huh.
And, I did not work at the movie theater, but I frequented it and appreciate you starting your finance career in the ticket office.
Yeah, it was a great entrance. It was a great time. It was a super fun place to work as a teenager. You got to see all the movies for free.
Yeah.
So you could bring your friends and family. And I've probably seen the ending credits to Good Will Hunting like 50 times at this point, being in the back of the theater, sweeping up all the popcorn as everything rolls out.
That's fantastic. So, all right, going from the movie theater, I'll do the quick run through of your career. 20 years working at various financial functions at a whole bunch of private equity type firms, Benchmark, Adam Street, UpData. And then one day you decided, you know what, I want to do something else. What brought you to Canopy?
So the thing that really excited me about this role was that Canopy at the time, so this was back, late 2019. I started in January of 2020. And at that point, Canopy was really in its early days. We had done one investment. We had just gotten the SBIC license, so early days. And they wanted someone to come in and build the back office from scratch, which really excited me. So, as you said, I've been in VC, private equity my whole career, and I've seen a lot of back offices. And I'd always had this running list in the back of my mind that if this was my shop, I would do it this way. Or, if I had the means, I would switch out, this vendor with this vendor, or try this software, a whole range of things that I'd kind of, accumulated in the back of my head over the years. And so then I got this opportunity to come in and do just that and build the back office the way that I had envisioned it, bring in the vendors and the people that I like to work with. And that was fun, just to build it from the ground up. It was a crazy time to build things from the ground up. COVID hit a couple months later. Everything went remote. The world turned upside down. So it was fun, challenging, really interesting time.
Well, and you talked about standing up the back office. Maybe let's start first principles. What does the CFO of a venture fund actually do?
Yeah. So I kind of think about my world in two buckets. One being the management company, and that's similar to a lot of other businesses out there where you're thinking about things like budget, cash analysis, working with your banks, getting your bank account set up, if you want to get any sort of facilities lines in place, payroll, health benefits, really just all the nuts and bolts of building a business and keeping it running from day to day. Then the other half that I think about is the fund accounting, and that really is particular to, you know, the private equity world. So nowadays at Canopy, we have four funds that we operate. And even though there is a lot of overlap between those funds in terms of investments and LPs, they really do operate as their own standalone entities, and they all need the finance piece, they need the accounting piece, they need their bank accounts, they need their facilities, capital calls, distribution. So managing the inflows and outflows of the fund. Anytime that we do a deal, we need to do a capital call and, you know, have the cash to pay for that investment. On top of that, we are issuing quarterly cap account statements. So these are the you know, pieces of paper that we give to all of our LPs that help them reconcile their investment in Canopy every quarter. And that's a really important, you know, piece there in terms of outreach to the limited partners. We also spend a lot of time on audit, as you can imagine, with the four funds. We probably spend 6 months of the year either preparing for or really in depth with our auditors at PwC. And then every 18 months, we get visited by the SBA for an additional audit. So, that probably is where I spend the bulk of my time, is working with the funds, making sure that everything is running smoothly. And then I'll get a lot of outreach from the limited partners just to discuss various aspects of the fund, you know, cash flow planning. Can you tell me about valuations? That's obviously a big piece of it as well. So really those two buckets, running Canopy day to day, but then also making sure that the funds are operating as smoothly as possible.
Is there a particular aspect of what you just went through that is, like, I can't wait to do X? I can't imagine it's being audited, but maybe it is.
Probably not being audited. That you know, is very intensive. We have a great audit team. We've been working with them since the beginning, and they really do know Canopy inside and out, which helps tremendously. I really like just the nuts and bolts of accounting. Looking at the journal entries, looking at the variations, just reviewing like a P&L to say, well, there's some fluctuation here that I hadn't anticipated, or comparing it to maybe the last year's P&L and trying to get an understanding of what has changed. Do these numbers make sense? It's always a little bit fun when you get into something and it doesn't immediately make sense, and you do some detective work and figure out, oh, okay, here's what's going on, here's what's causing this variation, or, oh, you know what, maybe this journal entry needs to be adjusted. So I do kind of like the detective work aspect of it.
Yeah. That makes one of us. When you think about going from the two funds in fund one, and now we've got four funds with fund two, what was the biggest challenge as we scaled and as we look to the future, continue to scale, grow the team, grow the assets under management?
Just the number of transactions. Like I said, even though there is a lot of overlap in terms of investments and LPs, as you scale the number of transactions, say you add another fund and you need to do a capital call, maybe you've got 50 LPs now in this new fund that all need to have individual capital calls that need to be created, reviewed. So as we get bigger, it's just, you still need to have the same number of touch points per item. So just making sure that the back office is scaling appropriately to make sure that we are, you know, still touching every data point appropriately.
You know, it not lost on me, Sarah. We are fintech investors. you know, deploying money into companies that are helping to address some of those types of challenges at our banks and limited partners. When you think about when you started in the venture PE world, in back office, in the finance space, what type of, I don't know, innovations or even just like new technologies that we're using now, or maybe even could see down the future, that have made a big difference in the way you do your job?
Yeah, well, I'll give a shout out right now to one of our companies, Notarize. The fact that you can do notary online nowadays is huge. I remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, trying to find a notary last minute because a bank needs, you know, something or other notarized, and you're calling FedEx, your local FedEx office. Do you do notary? Yes, but she's only in on Wednesdays from 10 to 3, and today's a Tuesday. And boy, that saves so much time, just to be able to go log on and have your documents notarized in real time. So that's huge. And then things like DocuSign. I remember 20 years ago, when it was time to file taxes for the funds, the tax team would walk in with physical boxes of tax documents. They would lay them out on the table, and the CFO would one by one go up to each document and physically sign it, and then walk it over and drop it in the mail, which that was an all day process. And nowadays you spend 15 minutes signing everything online and, you know, can move on to a more valuable task.
Yeah. Well, amazing to see how technology helped drive innovation in what you do and what we're doing with our banks. Last question, and try to end on a lighter note. You mentioned one of the areas of responsibility is kind of managing transactions. That also involves expense management for those of us at the fund, whether it be at Canopy or one of your other funds that you worked at. What was the funniest or strangest expense that you've ever had to approve or reject?
Yeah. So a few years back, I won't say where I was working. And if this individual is listening,
not here?
No, it's not here.
Okay, good.
This individual is listening. You know who you are. But I had one gentleman who would consistently try and expense Axe body spray. Anytime he traveled, he felt a need to purchase it and then to let me know he purchased it by putting it through on his expense report, which I always rejected because that falls into a personal item category.
But I mean, to some extent, maybe need to approve it so he doesn't stink up the office.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Sarah, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate the time and look forward to continuing to work together.
Great. Thank you, Eric.
All right, Emily, how we do? She's still on. Oh, no, she's running back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Ah, thank you.
Canopy Conversations is confidential and may not be relied upon as investment, legal, or tax advice. Please carefully review Canopy Connect terms and conditions for further information.